Thank the Lord. Well, we're having a time tonight, aren't we? Glory to God. God's working with us, and we give Him praise. And He's answering some pretty big prayers, isn't He? Amen. Well, thank you for your kindness to my wife and me. We've had a great week with you. Now we've got another session. Thank you. We've got another session in the morning, the Lord being our helper. And in the morning, we'll have a closing lesson at 11 a.m. But I just want to thank the camp leadership and the board and all those who invited us. It's just been a real thrill to be here. I was here for the first time in 2003 and then again in 2008. And somewhere between 2008 and now, my son came. And Nathan said, I love Collins Camp. He said, I'd like to make that my camp. But he's pastoring up in Michigan now, and it's kind of hard for him to be here. But instead, you know, a beautiful thing happened. And my daughter and son-in-law are part of you all now. And so we're thankful for that. And it's been a special joy to be with Katie and Peter and Ella and Noah. And my wife's been teaching the children in the morning, 11 o'clock, children's evangelistic service. And so we've just had a great time together in the Lord. This evening, our scripture lesson is in the 25th chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. And we'll begin reading with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. That means scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, to the bankers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury, with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sounds like a bad place. I don't want to go there. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, here we are in this last evening service of the camp. We've had a great camp. You've blessed, you've worked, we praise you, we thank you. We give you honor and glory. Now, Lord, here we are tonight, and we need your anointing and visitation among us. And I pray that you would grant it unto us, and may the victories that are won be trophies of grace that we cast at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Sometimes when I'm on the road traveling across the country, and I do quite a bit of it, Sometimes I'll put on a little AM radio to just help pass the time, especially in the morning or in the afternoon, and that will help me maybe with a little talk radio just to try to keep me awake. You know how that is sometimes? You just need a little controversy to get thinking about and keep you awake. And so I've heard this self-proclaimed glib spokesperson for the American right. He calls himself Rush Limbaugh. And often when he introduces himself, he says something like this. Have you ever heard him say this? Talent on loan from God. Well, I suppose, isn't it all? Isn't it all? Talent on loan from God. I read an article some time ago in the Lexington Herald Leader. It was back about 10 years ago in 2002, and it was an article about some events that had taken place at the Southland Christian Church in Jessamine County, just on the edge of Lexington, Kentucky. And there at Southland Christian Church, a member of the church had took it on his heart to donate $20,000. Now listen, when a member donates $20,000, pastors say, hallelujah. But this gift of $20,000 had strings attached. And pastors don't usually say hallelujah when the gift has strings attached. The conditions were these. That $20,000 check would be taken down to the bank, and it would be cashed into cash money, into increments of $5 bills, $10 bills, and $20 bills. And then it would be divided and put up into envelopes and distributed in church on Sunday in increments none larger than $20. It'd be handed out to children and teenagers and mothers and fathers. And then a challenge was given there at Southland Christian Church. And the challenge was this, that you would be taking this money and you would be multiplying it and bringing it back to the church, and then we'd collect it as an offering for our Christmas offering to help the needy folks all across the community. And so people did it. People took the $20,000, all separated into envelopes, $5, $10, $15, $20 in these envelopes, none larger than $20. And they took it out, and the kids had lemonade stands. And the folks had bake sales. And they had car washes. And they invested the money, they multiplied the money, they grew the money, and they brought it back at the appointed time for the appointed day when they would collect the appointed Christmas offering. And when they took the offering, they counted it. And guess what happened? Now, some of you all are cynical enough to say, oh, some of that money didn't come back to church. I know what some of y'all think. You're thinking some of that money went for candy and pop down at the corner. I know what you're thinking. But they brought it back to church, and when they took the offering, it was $100,000. It had multiplied by five times. A modern parable of the talents. And that reminds me of the story that Jesus tells in the Scripture. I'm going to call it what Rush calls it, talent on loan from God. Now, in ancient times, it was common for a wealthy landowner to leave their land for a period of months and even years on end. And when the landowner would leave, they'd leave their servants or their managers in charge of their property. And you know, they didn't have airplanes in Jesus' time. They didn't have trains and boats. Well, they had some boats, but they didn't have boats with any power other than wind power. And so if you're going to travel and take a long journey and go around the world and see much of the known world at that time, it would take months and even years. I remember hearing missionaries testify about going from here to another continent in the globe, even within this last century, and it would take weeks and sometimes months. And so it was in the time of Christ that these owners would go out and they'd travel on a long journey and they'd leave their managers in charge of their property. And it was the job of the managers to care for the property in a way that was consistent with the manager's wishes. They had to be good, responsible self-starters. They had to care for it. And in this story, there are these three servants, these three managers who are working for the master. And it's their job to care for the master's money. Now, the Bible uses an interesting word here, and the word is talents. Now, that's an old word that we don't usually think of. When we think of talent, we think of gifts and abilities, right? But that's not what this word meant in biblical times. In biblical times, the word talent was a word that stood for a 75-pound weight of precious metal. A 75-pound weight of gold was a talent of gold. A 75-pound weight of silver was a talent of silver. Now let's suppose that what we're looking at in this story today is gold. A 75-pound weight bar of gold. Now, it came along as history transpired and developments came that people got tired of carrying the bar of gold in their pocket. It's a little heavy, kind of hard to walk straight, carrying a sixth grader around, you know what I'm saying? Smile, it'll be over in a few minutes. It's kind of hard to carry a 75-pound bar of gold around, are you with me? Especially if you have five of them you're supposed to tote. And so they developed a coin, and you can see it in the picture here, and that coin represented the 75-pound weight of precious metal, and it was a whole lot easier to carry in your pocket. So the Bible uses this word talent. And often, as I mentioned, we confuse it with our idea of talent, meaning gift and ability, but the primary purpose of what Jesus is talking about is not our gifts and abilities, although that's an appropriate application that we can make. The main thing Jesus is talking about in our scripture lesson is money. He's talking about money. Oh, some of you are freaking out already. You say, the preacher's talking about money in church. Listen, I already got my offering. I'm okay. I've got enough to get me back to Kentucky. Hallelujah. The master was interested in how his servants would handle the money. He could claim it any time he wished. It was talent on loan. And the parable of the talents reminds us of our responsibility. Our response, our report, and our reward for our faithfulness over the investments God makes in your life. Did you realize God is investing in you? He's investing of His love and His grace, His material provision of health. He's investing in you, and it's our job to make sure He does well in His investment, right? Talent on loan from God. Now, as you walk through the story, you first see this idea of responsibility. It's a responsibility that the servants or the managers had to the gift, to the loan, to the master who trusted them. There's a matter of not only their responsibility, but their response. What will they do when they're faced with this kind of responsibility? Some of us are pretty good dealing with responsibility. Others, mom and dad don't quite trust them quite so much, right? How would they respond? The master was investing in them. Now, I did a little research today, and I looked up the current price of gold. Anybody know what today's price, the opening price on gold was today? $1,557 per ounce. $1,557 per ounce. So, you know, I had to do a little bit of math. I had to start figuring what this gold is going to be worth. Are you ready? The servant number one received 5 talents of gold. That's 375 pounds of gold. By today's standard, $8.5 million. Come on now. That's trust. You don't give a loan of $8.5 million to somebody that's just any old Jehu off the street. You're going to trust them. And the master trusted his managers. He trusted his servants. Servant number two. 2 talents of gold, 150 pounds of gold, $3.4 million by today's standards. Servant number three, 1 talent of gold, 75 pounds of gold, $1.7 million by today's standards. Now, even that guy, the Bible says he gave to each servant, each manager, according to their own ability. But that's not chump change. Come on. That's not mad money. That's an investment of trust. Talent on loan. So, the Bible tells us in their response, they had a return on their investment. And servant number one added 5 talents of gold to the 5 he already had. Now he's up to 750, 17 million by today's standards. Servant number two, 2 talents of gold to the 2, a total of 300 pounds of gold. He got up to 7 million by today's standards. And servant number three took his talent and buried it in the ground. In my mind, my imagination kind of works, and I see him getting that bar of gold and wrapping it up in an old oil cloth. And he takes that old oil cloth and he wraps it up real good and real tight and puts that bar of gold, that 70, can you see it, Nick? And he goes out into the yard and he goes over to the hickory tree, and then he goes over to the corner of the house, and then he goes over to another marker, maybe the bird bath, and he walks it off. And he gets his paces just right, and he figures out exactly where it's going to be. And he says, okay, right here. And he digs a hole and puts it in the yard. And then when the master comes back, he has to find that same spot all over again. And dig it up and look for that bar of gold. So, the Bible tells us it came time to give the report. And the first servant said, here are my 5 talents. They yielded 5 more. Servant number 2 said, here are my 2 talents of gold. They yielded 2 more. Servant number 3 said he brought his 1 talent of gold. And he, along with a report of fear, frustration, and failure. And I can see him coming up to the master, brushing the filth off the old cloth. Can you see him? And maybe even taking it off the bar of gold and shaking it out. And a report of fear and frustration and failure. And then it came time to mete out the rewards. The first servant brought in his gold to the master. And he heard from the master the praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. The master's power. I'll put you in charge of many things. The master's plan. Come and share in your master's happiness. Servant number 2. He brought in his report. Laid his gold out in front of the master. Same deal. The master's praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. The master's power. I'll put you in charge of many things. And the master's plan. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then stepped up servant number 3. And you see him in the picture. The master's praise was non-existent. The master's power turned to punishment through temporal and eternal loss. Cast him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's a picture of God's final judgment. If we are unprofitable servants and torment in eternal fire of hell forever. The master's plan to reward the faithful and punish the unfaithful. And by the time it was all done, servant number 1 gets up to 19 million by today's standards. He gets even more promotion and advantage. I'm talking about talent on loan from God. And you know, this really rings true in our lives. God has made an incredible investment in us. And we're faced with a responsibility because of the investment of this talent on loan from God in your life and mine. Each of us is faced with a responsibility for the gifts God has entrusted to us. Let me just walk through some of these gifts and remind you, your money's on loan from God. Your money's on loan from God. Somebody came up to me one time and they said, Dr. John, the Old Testament teaches tithing. And when Jesus came in the New Testament, he did away with the law, so we don't have to tithe anymore. I said, wrong. I said, you don't understand God's word. I said, for every standard of the Old Testament, Jesus defended and supported that, and then he expanded it beyond that. He said, you've heard it say, but I said, say unto you. And the Old Testament standard was 10%. The New Testament standard is Christian stewardship. You know what that means? That means that everything we have belongs to God. Everything. And it starts with the 10%. And then whenever God puts his hand on us and says, I need that. Would you invest that in my kingdom? We say, yes, Lord. So the 10% is the beginning. May I say to you, your money is on loan from God. Your money is on loan from God. You all are getting blessed and by shouting me down tonight. Bless your hearts. Your possessions are on loan from God. All too often we leave behind our stuff just for our kids to fight over. How many families do you all know of that are just torn asunder fighting over the estate? And siblings won't even talk to each other. Our possessions are on loan from God. Our health is on loan from God. Our key verse for our morning sessions has been from 1 Corinthians chapter 6:19. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our health is on loan from God. It's a temporary loan. And the better we invest our health, more than likely the better return we're going to see on it in most cases. If we abuse our bodies, we'll pay a high price. I remember going to the state of Alaska a few years ago in ministry with my wife and seeing a high school classmate that I hadn't seen for many years. And when I saw her on that cold winter morning, she had been a beautiful young woman. And she was, but that morning she was dressed in a snowsuit that just looked like a sack hanging on a bag of bones. And her hair that had been a once beautiful raven-like mane of hair was just discolored and broken and damaged, and her face was sallowed and yellowed and streaked with lines, and her teeth were ground down to yellow nubs in her mouth. And I thought, Anna? Using meth? And when I embraced her, she reeked of the smell of tobacco. She had been a pastor's daughter. Her dad and my dad had been Bible college roommates. And I was struck by the incongruity of it all, because here was before me a young woman who was probably no older than about 42 years of age, and she looked 65. She hadn't handled the investment of health as a wise investor. She hadn't been responsible. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your time's on loan from God. Your looks are on loan from God. And some of us have taken a great amount of time to get looking good, and you all look marvelous. All you see before you with me, though, is my natural beauty. It's as good as it gets. I'm kind of like the old fellow I heard about. Brian, you may resemble this remark. The old boy that when he was going through the line in heaven and the Lord was passing out looks, you heard about that? He thought he said books, and he said, give me a funny one. Thank you, I needed that. I've got my peanuts gallery up here. Give me a rim shot. Your gifts and abilities are on loan from God. Your relationships are on loan from God. Your family is on loan from God. Your love life is on loan from God. Your life is on loan from God. I'm talking about talent on loan from God. It's His gift. So how will we respond? What will be our response when faced with God's loan, His investment in our lives? Will we invest merely in time, or will we invest in eternity? Will we live for just simply what we can see and smell and taste and touch and hear? Or will we live for something beyond this material existence? How will we respond? Our entire lives, my friends, are staging grounds for eternity. The Bible says, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let me ask you some questions. Are you investing in eternity? When faced with talent alone from God, are you investing in eternity? I'm privileged to serve as a development officer for the Kentucky Mountain Bible College, and we have a significant endowment that is helping our students with student scholarships. It's exciting. And part of my greatest joy in September and then again in February is to write thank you letters. It's fun. And I get to write thank you letters to the folks who endowed the scholarships for the college and tell them how we appreciate them. And then I get to, we attach a lot of student letters to those where students are thanking those folks. And it's exciting. And the responses I get back are so neat. Well, a lifelong family friend went to heaven last summer. His name was Selden Short. And Selden loved the Lord and worked in our Holiness Association. His wife was very ill this winter, and she had an aneurysmal aorta, and it looked like she was just really close to death. But before Selden died, Selden and Janet had endowed a scholarship to help students at KMBC. February came around, and the scholarships were issued. And a couple of young ladies had written their thank you letters, and they got to talking with our director of financial aid, Rosita. And Rosita said, "Girls, I know the lady who has endowed your scholarship. She's in very poor health. She's quite weak and bedfast now. Her name is Janet Short. If you'd like to, I'll take you to her house, if it's okay with her family. And you can meet her and thank her in person for the scholarship she's given to help you through Bible college." And those girls were excited. Oh, they were just real thrilled, and they wanted to do that. And so the appointed day came, and Rosita took the young ladies down to see Janet Short. And there, sure enough, she was completely blind. She's not been able to see anything for about nearly 10 years. Completely blind, completely bedfast. Her children had to wait on her and provide her with care for her body. And there was Janet in bed. But do you think she was discouraged and defeated? Those girls went in there to cheer up this old lady. And they left elated because she sang for them and prayed for them and encouraged them and just glowed for Jesus with a radiant smile and told those girls how much she loved them and believed in them and what God had a purpose for their lives. And she left, those girls left Janet that day with a sense of elation. It was last month that Janet crossed the line of worlds and she went to heaven. And I told her children this story just about 4 weeks ago. And I wish you could have seen the smiles on their faces. They said, "That's our mommy. That's our mommy. She was just like that." You see, Selden and Janet Short invested in eternity. And when it came down to the end of life, she was grieving the loss of her husband. When it came to the end of life, she was still investing in other people for the glory of God and the advancement of Christ's kingdom. I'm talking about talent alone from God. Will you invest in eternity with your life? Will you invest in eternity with your family life? I want to talk to parents just a bit. I'm concerned that we as parents are investing in our children and in our families with eternal values. I'm burdened because of what I see in the church world as I travel around. I carry about over the last few years, it's ranged from 11 to 16 meetings a year, and I'm all over the country. I've worked in about 14 different states and with a host of different denominations. It's up in the teens of denominations and independent works, and I see Christians in all kinds of church environments. And you know what I see as a trend in the church world? The people who profess Christ are finding any excuse they can not to invest in the spiritual lives of their children. Specifically on Sunday morning. I was in a revival up in the state of Ohio just in March. And a whole group of folks in the church said, "We've had a great revival, but we won't be in the church on Sunday or we won't be in the church on Wednesday because we have a tournament that weekend." Come to find out from the pastor, softball takes preeminence over Jesus. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in softball season. And I don't know what it is in your community, but we find ourselves saying things like, "Well, the league plays on Sunday, and we've got to go to this tournament down in Gulfport this weekend, and it's going to be Sunday morning. We'll miss church, but, you know, we've got to participate in the tournament. I've got to teach my children to be faithful or something." Oh, boy.
They've committed themselves. The king's dependent upon them. And the church isn't. Now there's game up that holler. This little hillbilly boy knows that.
My friend Richard S. Taylor said these words, and they strike to the core of my heart as a husband and father, now grandfather. He said this, if we want our children to be lost, we must simply put them ahead of God. Softball's fun. I like softball. That's not the point. It's not about softball. And if you think it's about softball, bless your heart. Smile at me. It's going to be over in a few minutes. But this is good preaching. If you can't say amen, we need to say ouch. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Are you investing in eternity with your romantic life? Often we look at young people and say, young people, if you're a Christian, you need to date a Christian. And I believe in that. I believe in that. You need to invest in eternity in your romantic life, in your love life. Every date's a potential mate. But can I just whisper in y'all's ear, there ain't no fool like an old fool. And you and I have seen some people who are mature in chronological years do some pretty foolish things in violation of the principle that we're trying to teach our young people. I'm lonely. I've got to have somebody. Besides, if I get married to them, I'll lose my pension.
What's that?
It's money, honey. Did you? Thank you, Jesus. Out of the mouths of babes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, I'm concerned about this. I've done a lot of ministry in Florida, and I'm told among my Florida friends in the winter camp meetings down in Florida that STDs are spreading like crazy among senior citizens because they're living such shoddy, wicked, immoral lives. And they're losing their moral compass in their senior years, and they're not investing in eternity. I'm grieved by our tolerance for sin. It's become the norm for young people who are engaged to shack up before they get married. And we just sit on our hands and throw our parties in for them as if it's just all just fine and dandy. I'm grieved, church. I'm grieved. God's invested in us. Will we be responsible to truth? And friends, I love you all. I don't mean to be harsh or unkind, but I'm grieved. How are we investing in eternity? Are we investing in eternity with our money? With our finances? I'm reminded that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, that the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. I believe in giving my tithe to God. I believe in New Testament Christian stewardship, that everything that I have is God's, and when He calls on it, it's His. I believe in that. I remember a commercial that was on TV for quite a number of years. It's been a while since I've seen it, maybe 4 or 5 years. But there's this guy who's riding on his riding lawnmower in his big yard. And he has a beautiful home back behind him. And the newest model cars in the driveway, and his children and beautiful family standing up there. And they just look lovely and beautiful. Picture perfect American family. And he's riding on his lawnmower, and his eyes are as big as saucers. And as he's riding on his riding lawnmower, he looks like he's just stoned. And he says these words. I'm going to build up to my eyeballs. Listen, church, I'm concerned. Hear me, I'm concerned. Because within the ranks of people who profess the name of Christ dwell a host of 21st century slaves. Did you hear me? Within the ranks of those of us who profess the name of Christ dwell a host of 21st century slaves. The borrower is slave to the lender. And as a result, if God would call upon us to write a big check out of our checking account or out of our savings to invest in that new wing, that Christian Life Center that needs to go up at our church, or that sanctuary that's been there for 5 years and needs to be completed.
Amen, brother.
We would say, well, I can't do that because I'm going to build up to my eyeballs. Come on. Now, this is good preaching, and it'll be over in a little bit, but just hang in there. Here's another concern I have right along this same line. There are missionaries who are trying to get to the mission field. After Brother Billy went off the World Gospel Mission Board, as he had been on there a number of years with my father, Eldon, I succeeded my dad, Eldon, and basically took his seat on the World Gospel Mission Board. I've been privileged to serve on that for 2 years, but I see missionaries, it's taking an average of about 20 months of homeland ministry assignment to get to the mission field. But then there's some who, after getting an education, being called of God, trained, ready to go, they're ready to live a sacrificial lifestyle, they're ready to raise the funds. And you sang in the singing group with one of them, David. And he was ready to go, skilled, gifted, ready to go to the mission field, and guess what happened? We wouldn't get behind them, we wouldn't support them, and now he's working a public sector employment. You know, and we're just stuck in our comfortable little lives. I owe, so off to work I go. And amen, Dan, I'll do my... And it's all on loan from God. Friends, I don't mean to be flippant. I'm using humor to communicate something that burdens me deeply. It burdens me deeply. Some of us need to go home and we need to reassess our finances. Some of us need to sit down with our husband, our wife, and we need to go over our finances and make a serious effort to get our fiscal house in order so we can put God first. Some of us need to go home and we need to sell some stuff because we've just got too much. We need to sell some stuff. Get, as we say in the mountains of East Kentucky, we need to get shed of some stuff. We need to get shed of some stuff. And instead of building a big shed, a bigger shed, we need to get shed. Our American homes, the new homes, are an average of 10% larger than they were 10 years ago. Because we have more stuff. You've been listening. Are you investing eternity with your skills and talents, your interest and leisure time? I'm talking about talent on loan from God. And when it comes time to report to God, we will either please or grieve Him. We'll either please or grieve our Lord. We will hear one of two responses. Get this. There are two responses in Scripture to the servants. One, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You wicked and lazy servant, depart from me. And he cast him out into utter darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's not a middle ground, guys. There's not a middle ground with Jesus. He wants servants who are sold out to the Master, abandoned to the cross, who have given their talent back to God to invest in kingdom building work. We're investing lives in eternity, not just time. It is so easy just to get caught up with, I'm going to get a good education, I'm going to get a good job, and I'm going to make lots of
money.
Why would you want to go to the mission field and be a good preacher or be a missionary or be a Christian worker? Because if you do that, you won't make a lot of
money.
You know why they say it? Because they've heard you say it and you say it. They've heard you say it in church and at home, and it's the credo of America. And all the while, God says, talent on loan from God. And so what will our reward be? You see, our reward will be based upon how we have invested in eternity. Our Lord Jesus said some powerful words, and I want to close with those this evening. I've got stories I could tell you, and I've just got stories I could tell you right now. But the Lord's saying, close this thing, okay? The Bible tells us in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, hear the word of the Lord. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, Jesus said, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, Jesus said, there will your heart be also. May I ask you a personal question tonight? Where's your treasure?
Don't know.
Well, we have two choices. I know you don't know, but let me give you two answers. Your treasure can either be right here on earth, or it can be in heaven. It can be in time, or it can be in eternity. Now, a span of human life is lasting in the upper 70s in North America right now. Around 77, 78 years of age is the average span of life in North America. That's a long life, isn't it? Some of you are coming to the end of it and saying, no, it's not all that long, Dr. John. It seems like yesterday. When? But that's about as long as we get on this earth. How long do we get to spend in eternity after we die? That's a really long time. And it would make sense if the hereafter is for eternity that we invest well in it. That we invest well in it. Of our money, of our time, of our resources, of our love, of our passion, that we invest in people. Because you know, friends, we can't take our stuff with us. I can't take my iPad, you can't take your iPod, I can't take my laptop, you can't take your Android. Come on. It won't go. It won't go to heaven. And besides, that stuff is irrelevant. After 18 months down here, it's old stuff and we need something new anyway. But we live as if it's our idol. And Jesus keeps calling us to remind us our talents on loan from God and to live for eternity, not time. Would you stand together? I need my young men to come and give me a hand real quickly as we're closing things down. Would you bow your heads with me as we prepare for prayer? Bow your heads with me all over the house. Adults, our young people have their lives before them. Many of them have given their hearts to Jesus this week and have made the decision to invest in eternity, not just time. But if they are to do that successfully, they must have adequate role models from you and me. And if we're not doing it, I've just wasted my air up here tonight. If we as adults aren't doing it, I just bloviated all night long. And that's about all it's worth. And I'm concerned that you and I as adults begin addressing some things in our lives that are right here. I was preaching this message in 2010 at a camp meeting up in the state of Ohio. And God began talking to my wife and me about addressing some things. Finances. Of all things, a passport. Because we both felt God was saying, He's going to thrust us out to some other countries in ministry, and we felt like we needed to get ready. And we felt Him just pushing us. Why? So we could invest in eternity, not just time. Not to travel for leisure, although that's wonderful, but to travel in ministry. And so we began making some changes in our lives as a result of God speaking this message to our hearts. And I want to challenge our adults here tonight. What's God calling you to if you're really going to invest in eternity and not just time? And it may not be what I've talked about tonight. You know, it may be your stuff, your issues. Lord Jesus, talk to us about what our issues are right now. And help us as adults to model a path for our young people where we really make choices like we believe in eternity. We pray for Jesus' sake. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, adults, I'm going to look to both sides and I'm going to ask you the question. If God's talked to you tonight and you said, Dr. John, God's talked to me about some reassessment and realignment of priorities in my life to invest in eternity, and I want to mind God, just look me in the eye. I'm over here on Oregon's side right now. Your left side, just look me in the eye and say, pray for me. That's where I am. Yes. Yes. Adults all over the left side over here. What about over here on the right side of the congregation? God's talked to me tonight about reassessing some priorities to invest in eternity. Amen. Adults, let's mind God. Let's come up and pray about it tonight. Model to our children that we're going to put God first. Put eternity first before God. Come quickly. If you looked at me and God's talked to you tonight, let's mind the Lord and let's get up here. And let's model, put our footsteps where our values are and invest in eternity, God being our helper. Amen. Amen. Adults are coming from all over this auditorium saying, I've got to assess some priorities before God and live in holiness and righteousness, investing my life in eternity. Now, young people, you may have parents up here or a pastor up here. You may be coming to make some decisions of your own. I don't want you to come flippantly tonight. Sometimes it's just a whole mass of, I want you coming if there's a deep commitment you're making to God. I don't want you coming tonight to pray with friends. Not tonight. This is about you making a commitment to God from your heart to the heart of God. I'm going to invest in eternity. I'm going to live my life for something more than just money and popularity and the cool factor and entertainment and what's on TV tonight and what the top 40 is and everything else that everybody else tells us is so important. Not for clothes, not for gadgets. I'm going to live for eternity, and I've got to make a commitment to God. I invite young people whose heart is right there to come right now, and let's make that commitment before God. Come quickly.
ask you to make a prayer of dedication here around the altar for the commitments that people are making.
Will you do that?
I will. I thought you would. That mic is live if you want a mic.
I've asked my brother in the Lord, Brother Benny Crawford, to come and offer a prayer of commitment and blessing tonight for the commitments we're making to God to invest in eternity and not simply live for time. To live our life for something that matters, something that's going to last. And Brother Benny, you lead us to the throne of grace now.
Our Heavenly Father, as we have learned over the years, your power has not abated, neither has your arm shortened to supply our needs as you have supplied the needs of your people from generation to generation. And we praise you for your love and your compassion for your people. And Father, we were reminded even just this week as we read your word that holiness is when we surrender our all to you and allow your Holy Spirit to guide our life each day. And Father, we've seen moms and dads and probably grandparents that have come to the altar tonight to do just that, surrender their all to you. And I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will fill their heart and supply the spiritual grace to keep that commitment that they've made to you. Father God, today, and I know that throughout the week, we've seen young girls and young boys, teenagers, young adults that have knelt at this altar and surrendered their will to you. And Lord, I pray that you will give them the spiritual grace through the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that they might live out those commitments that they've made to you. Father God, we know that we've all come short of your glory in our life. But Father, we don't have to stay there. We can move out from that. We can move up from that. And I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit truly will lead us in the right direction. That will lead, Lord, for our complete surrender to your will. I pray that, Lord, you would bless our church, our pastors, the leaders of our church. In a world that holiness doesn't mean anything, but Lord, it should mean everything to us. And I pray that, Lord, that we'll keep the banner flying high. I pray that we'll keep the light brightly burning for your glory and your honor because of the decisions that have been made around this altar this week. Again, thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, for what you mean to us. And thank you, God, for the great love that you had some 2,000 years ago that you witnessed to us by the gift of your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. No greater gift has ever been given. So, Lord, let that be an inspiration to our hearts that, Lord, that we would keep that commitment that's been made this week. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful speaker. Thank you for the liberty that he's had to speak to my heart and the hearts of so many others. Thank you for these musicians, Lord, that have delivered the spiritual message and song and the love that they've given here this week. And I pray that, Lord, in the days to come, that you will, Lord, lead them and guide them to the places that, Lord, you can use them the most. And we certainly give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Rise and go in peace. And may God Himself watch over you, accompany you, and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.